Good morning again, everybody. So glad you're here. I'm glad to be here. Another beautiful morning. You guys can probably smell fall in the air. Can maybe even smell a nice fall meal right now, which I'm excited for. So thank you, Tyler and Becky, for getting the meal ready today. For those who don't know me, my name is Paul Letvin, one of two pastors here at Submerged Church, and just want to extend a very warm welcome to you, as usual. Today is a special day for us at Submerged Church. We're celebrating our 8-year anniversary today as a church. Hey, yeah, eight years. And so technically September 7th is our anniversary date. So it was September 7th, 2014. Labor Day would have been that very, would have been on September 1st, a Monday that year. And we had our very first service at the Boys and Girls Club, or first public service anyway. You know, we had done some house church apartment settings leading up to that. And that was at the Boys and Girls Club on 25th and 18th Streets, and which used to be Fargo Baptist Church, that building. You know, now it's the Boys and Girls Club. And so that was kind of fun just to turn it back into a church on Sunday mornings. We met in the gym there for 6 years, and then when COVID hit, we were told that we couldn't meet there temporarily while they sorted things out. So I think we had to take about a 8-9 week break, and then started meeting there again. And we're hit with a bunch of regulations and expectations of what we were supposed to do: closing off certain areas, wiping chairs down, da 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 da. And that was on top of setting up our normal sound system and things with a skeleton crew, and it became a very, very large burden and workload for our normal people setting up, having to do all this extra cleaning stuff and hand sanitizer. And long story short, you know, many of you know Pastor Dave Mata from Calvary United Methodist Church, and I was good friends with him and was just meeting and talking with him and about all this stuff that we had to do, and he just looks at me and says, "Oh, why don't you just meet at our church? We're not using the chapel for anything, and you guys could meet in there. It'd be big enough. You can 50." And I was like, "Are you serious?" He's like, "Yeah, no problem." And then, so of course, we talked with the leadership, and then we started meeting at the chapel at Calvary United Methodist Church in September of 2020. And that worked very well for us for a while. We didn't have to haul our equipment. They let us store things there. And then, of course, Dave Mata retired June of 2021, and then there was a change of leadership and expectations and things like that, and we had some new stuff given us in our agreement of being there, and found that it was time to find a new place to meet. We were very fortunate to have this place. It was once again just God's perfect timing, but leading up to that, I was thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I don't want to have to go through this again, you know, because it was just so much work to try to find a place to meet, you know, initially at the Boys and Girls Club and then all this. And so kind of starting from square one, but then God reminded me, like, Paul, I provided for Submerged Church back in the summer of 2014, and I will provide for you again. Just trust me and wait for my timing. And I called the facility manager here, Christy, right at the right time. There was a church meeting here, Hope Lutheran, and they were waiting for their building to be built, waiting for one part that had been on back order for weeks that would provide electricity to their building. And as soon as that came in, they were so then they had their last service here. I think it was Halloween nearly a year ago. And then Christy called me and said, "Okay, it's if you guys still want it, it's yours. But I need to know, because another church called me shortly after you did. So if you guys don't take it, we're going to give it to this next group." And, you know, so I called Bob, and we quickly made the decision. Yes, we would like a nice place to meet, and thank you. And anyway, so God is so good. You know, he provided for us, and we've really been enjoying meeting here. And anyway, so that's just a brief little history kind of on how God has provided. And you know, on top of that, he's used, you know, Bob, myself, others in this church just to impact the lives of many, many people. We saw a good number of salvations, baptisms early on. Haven't seen as many of those as of late as we'd like to, but just the networking we've done in the community and different people we've met and things we've been involved in, I've just been blown away at how God has used our our little church, and then now seeing all of you here, and like what I'm seeing right now is completely different from what I was looking at, you know, 3 years ago, just in regards of people and demographics. And but God answered our prayers. My wife and I, we were praying for years, like, man, we want some more mature, seasoned Christians in our group. We want more young families in our church, you know, and God's been answering those prayers. It's been very exciting. So I just want to encourage you guys, as much as I'm encouraged to have seen what God has done, and just the fact that we're still here. I don't know if you guys know this, but as far as I'm aware, the average church plant, I don't think they make it past the first year, you know, a lot of times, you know, and then we went through COVID, and you guys know there's a lot of churches that shut down and never opened. There was many pastors that quit during COVID because it was just too much. Just the fact that we're still here, we're still meeting, we made it through COVID. I'm just blown away at how good God has been to us. So praise God for what He's done through this church, and I'm very excited in these days to come just to see how He's going to use us and to build His kingdom. And you guys know I meet with the ELN once a month, Evangelical Leadership Network, been very impactful. But as I've told the men there, and I'll tell you here, you know, my prayer for myself every day is keep me little and unknown, loved and prized by Christ alone. You know, my name, Paul, means small. Today, I'm going to be talking about Saul, not King Saul in the Old Testament, but Paul means humble or small. And so that's my prayer. And I've told the guys at the ELN, like, you know, in a nice way, I could care less, like how many people are coming to our church or if we make a big name. Like, I don't care about any of that. What I care about is am I well known in the eyes of God? And is He using me to be a team player to build His kingdom in this community with other like-minded Christians and churches? And so if there's another church that a lot of people are going to and people are getting saved by the dozens and hundreds, praise God. You know, that's you know, I don't need any credits or glory. I'm just happy to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to be doing what He's called me to do. Anyway, so I'm excited to celebrate today with you, and we'll be having a nice meal afterwards. So all that being said, yeah, today we will be talking about Saul. If you remember anything from today, this would be it, the big idea. Let your doing for Jesus flow from your being with Jesus. Let your doing for Jesus flow from your being with Jesus. Some of you have maybe heard the saying that we are human beings, we're not human doings. We're human beings, we're not human doings. And I tell you what, had I not been learning these skills leading up to March and April of 2020, I don't think I would have made it either. I maybe would have had a nervous breakdown. But because of spending time learning how to still myself before the Lord, and I'm still learning, I'm not a pro at it, but learning how to be still before the Lord, to wait patiently for Him, to abide in Jesus without expecting to get anything out of Him. You know, a lot of us, you know, we'll have a quiet time and we read our Bible and pray so we can get filled up for the day, and then we kind of just go on with our day. Whereas, you know, I've been learning, I need more than that. I need to take moments throughout the day and just stop, acknowledge the presence of Jesus in my life, and just sit at His feet like Mary did, and just enjoy being with Him. And out of that time being with Him, He'll speak to us and He'll fill us up with things. And the doing will just come naturally. You know, putting our faith into action will just naturally come out of a lifestyle of abiding in Jesus. And the last time I spoke, if you guys haven't figured it out yet, I guess I haven't really announced this, but I'm going through a couple different Bible characters. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on young David's character. He knew exactly what it meant to abide in Jesus, spending all this time out in the fields with the sheep, looking up at the stars. And, you know, a lot of the Psalms we read, you know, I believe came from his time, you know, out in the wilderness with the sheep, etc. And he knew what it meant to abide in Jesus. Today, we're going to be talking about someone who really was an emotional infant, Saul. And he didn't really know what that meant, to let his doing flow from his being with Jesus or being with the Lord. So I'm just excited to share that with you and how we can avoid some of the same mistakes that he made. So I'm just going to pray one more time that God bless their time. Father, we're so glad to be here in your presence. We just pray you bless this time. Jesus, we pray that you would be lifted high today through this message. And I pray you'd speak to each of our hearts through your Holy Spirit. What do we need to be improving on? What do we need to be challenged in so that we can not fall and fail like Saul did? Lord, I pray you teach us to be with you, to abide in you, and that all the things you want us to do would just come out of that, about us learning to be still and waiting on you. Pray you'd speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so here's just kind of a little opening statement. So Saul neglected to reflect on what was going on inside of him and around him, otherwise known as emotional health. He failed to do that. And he did not slow down to cultivate a contemplative life with God, just meaning taking time just to stop and contemplate and just think about God and look at this monarch butterfly and just, wow, look at the amazing design here that God, you know, and just thinking about, you know, how, God and slowing down. You know, when I was even 10 years ago, I was kind of along the lines of a younger person just thinking like, why do we want to plant flowers? You can't use them for anything. It's like, this is dumb. You know, like, but as I've gotten older now, it's like, man, I just love slowing down and looking at the intricacy in God's creation and just, joking with my wife, I'm like, what's going on? Like, I've got a hydroponic garden now where I'm growing cherry tomatoes and jalapenos, and I'm helping my little babies every morning, and I've got a potato plot, and stuff that I just did not like when I was younger. But now it's like, man, even my and Rachel's grandma Marion Letfin, she said, you know, there's so much therapy that happens, you know, just through gardening. You know, there's that song, and he walks with me and he talks, you know, just being in his, you know, so I've just really learned the joy of slowing down and contemplating things instead of just being go, go. Hey, what's the next fun thing? Yeah, let's do this. Like when I was marching yesterday, you know, but then even God reminded me in the parade yesterday, like, Paul, look at the kids in their eyes, smile at them. You know, and I'm like, okay, hey, yeah, USA, you know, because I was so focused on like, oh, yeah, Martin. You know. So God's working on me how to slow down. So anyway, Saul neglected to do those things. His doing from God did not flow from his being with God. So number one, we're going to just go through four short points here. Number one, Saul was consistently living under the fear of man. He was not confident in his identity in the Lord. So if you've got your bulletin, those are the first two fill-ins, man and Lord. Saul was consistently living under the fear of man. He was not confident in his identity in the Lord. And we're going to be jumping to a couple different sections, and then we'll be coming back to those sections and talking about different character issues. But this one we're going to focus on how Saul lived under the fear of man. So here's one example, 1 Samuel 9:21. Saul answered, "Am I not a Benjamite from the least of the tribes of Israel? And is not my clan the humblest of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then have you spoken to me in this way?" And this was his response after Samuel said to him, "And for whom is all that is desirable in Israel? Is it not for you and for all your father's house?" So Samuel came to him and is basically saying, hey, God has chosen you to be king. He's like, oh, no. You know, he just didn't have any confidence in himself and who he was in the Lord. 1 Samuel 10:15 and 16. So then, you know, he gets anointed, and then he goes out, and his uncle's like, what's going on? He told us plainly, uncle said, "Please tell me what Samuel said to you." And Saul said to his uncle, "Oh, he told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, but about the matter of the kingdom of which Samuel had spoken, he did not tell him anything." By the way, I was just anointed king of Israel, no big deal. You know, like, whoops, left that out. You know what? Why didn't he tell his uncle that? I can't think of any other reason than just living under the fear of man. He's like, you know, maybe his uncle said, "Well, why did you get anointed?" You know, who knows? But, you know, it's just interesting he left out, you know, why didn't he tell his uncle? I believe it was the fear of man. 1 Samuel 10:21-22. He brought, so this is where they're in front of, all the people, and they're getting all the tribes and, figuring out by lot, etc. So he brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its clans, and the clan of the Matrites was taken by lot, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken by lot. But when they sought him, he could not be found. So they inquired again of the Lord, "Is there a man still to come? You know, where's Saul? He was the one chosen." And then I just can't imagine, like, you know, and the Lord's like, Behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage. You know, it's like, so even at that point, God's probably, I don't know, you know, a little embarrassed, like, yeah, this guy I chose to be king, and he's afraid to even show himself. You know, why was he hiding? He's afraid. Fear of man. Didn't have a confident idea of who he was in the Lord, his identity in the Lord. 1 Samuel 13, 11 through 12. Here's another one. Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. So why did he, you know, he was told to wait. And we're going to get into this a little bit. But he did it. He didn't wait. He made the offering himself. Why did he do it? He saw the people scattering. He saw the people scattering. He was living under the fear of the Lord. And I believe, personally, this is my opinion, within the last 28, 29 months, when the COVID stuff came, there was a lot of decisions that pastors made that were based on the fear of man. They were afraid that their flocks would scatter and leave if they didn't shut down or didn't do this. And guess what? One example, Pastor Smotherman from a church in Albuquerque, New Mexico, he decided to keep his doors open during COVID. One of the only churches in Albuquerque that stayed, and guess what? His church, I think it was like a 4,000, over half of them did leave, but he didn't care. He's like, nope, we're commanded to meet together, and that's what we're gonna do. OSHA slapped him with $5,000 fine. He said, get off my property or I'm gonna call the police. Never paid it, and he lived under the fear of God instead of the fear of man. But because Saul was living under the fear of man, he made a grave mistake that had great consequences, and we'll see that in a little bit. 1 Samuel 15, 17, and 24, another example. And Samuel said, though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. And then later in verse 24, Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words because, and here he says it himself, I feared the people and obeyed their voice. So at least he finally came to the point where he admitted, yep, you're right, Samuel, I feared the Lord instead of God. He wasn't confident in his identity of who he was in the Lord. Number two, Saul didn't always healthily process his anger, which led him down a path of sin. Saul didn't always healthily process his anger, which led him down a path of sin. 1 Samuel 11, 6 through 7. And the Spirit of God rushed upon Saul when he heard these words, and his anger was greatly kindled. He took a yoke of oxen, cut them in pieces, and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hand of the messenger, saying, whoever does not come out after Saul and Samuel, so shall it be done to his oxen. Then the dread of the Lord fell upon the people, and they came out as one man. Now, some people might look at this as like, hey, he got a good response. He got people to come out. But what, why did the people come out? They were afraid of what Saul might do. You know, it wasn't because of a fear of the Lord. Well, although I guess it says, you know, the dread of the Lord fell upon him. They probably thought, well, you know, God anointed King Saul and we better do what he says, you know, and then, but really, I mean, in my opinion, this is kind of a little glimpse of what a tyrant would do, you know, putting fear into people to get them to do what you want them to do. Another example that I didn't even include, but, you know, remember Saul said, if anyone eats before the end of the day, you know, they'll be killed, basically, when they were fighting the, I think it was the Amalekites. But then Jonathan didn't hear the command. I talked about this in a previous sermon. He ate the honey anyway. And Saul's like, all right, we got to kill Jonathan, his own son. He was so angry that he made this foolish, rash vow saying, anyone who eats before we get these guys, they're gonna be executed, be killed. So that was another mistake that came out of his anger. He made a rash vow. 1 Samuel 18, 7 through 12. And the women sang to one another as they celebrated, Saul has struck down his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And Saul was very angry. And this saying displeased him. He said, they have ascribed David tens of thousands, and to me they have ascribed thousands. And what more can he have but the kingdom? Whoa, that was a big, conclusion to jump to, don't you think? It's like, they're just singing a song. And then he has this delusion, you know, that David's going to take the kingdom. And then it says, and Saul eyed David from that day on. The next day, a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house. And while David was playing the lyre, as he did day by day, Saul had his spear in his hand. And Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. But David evaded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Isn't this incredible? Just how this path of sin progresses. And the same thing can happen to us Christians if we're not careful. And it, you know what? And here's, this is the key verse right here. Saul was afraid of David. So that was the first problem. He was afraid. He was living under the fear of man. That fear of man led to anger and jealousy. And then it led to Saul being opened up to an evil spirit. You guys realize that, you know, we as Christians, you know, I believe cannot be possessed by demons. But man, when we're going down a path of fear and jealousy and anger, we are opening ourselves up for Satan to have a foothold in our lives. You know, and Saul, you know, he was, you know, a harmful spirit rushed upon him. And then he was ready to kill David and pin him to the wall. And it all started with fear of the man that led to anger. And then, you know, some of us, you know, we hear about these awful things happening and just the terrible things happening in our country and wicked people doing wicked things. And we're like, how could somebody do this? Well, guess what? You don't just wake up one morning and decide, yep, I'm going to be a serial killer. Or, you know, it's one step at a time in the wrong direction. And any of us is capable of anything. We have to keep our consciences sensitive. We need to repent of the smallest sins in our lives and not allow God, or not allow Satan to have a foothold. 1 Samuel 20, verse 30, when Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said to him, and this is what I would say the Bible's version of soft swearing, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? Wow. Josiah, if I ever say that to you, I lost. And you can tell me to leave. Okay. Wow. Can you imagine saying that to your own son? Not to mention insulting your wife in front of your son. Oh my goodness. And it was all because Saul's anger was kindled. He did not have self-control over his anger. Number three, when Saul grew tired of waiting on God, he took matters into his own hands, leading to disobedience and sin. Oh boy. Anybody here find it difficult to wait on the Lord? I do. It can lead us down a path of sin. It can lead us down a path of sin. First Samuel 10, verse 8 says, then go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I am coming down to you to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait. This was Samuel's command to Saul. You shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do. Okay? So very clear instructions that Samuel gave to Saul. Well, here we get to First Samuel 13, verses 8 through 14. And speaking of Saul, it says, he waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, but, and you know, we read this already, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring the burnt offering here to me and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. Let's stop right there. How many times in our lives do you think we've missed out on God's blessings or even faced grave consequences simply because we just didn't wait a little bit longer? Isn't that, it's very ironic, it's very, very humorous. Yeah, it's like, oh, Saul, if you just would have waited like one or two more hours, he would have came like he said he would. You know, the day wasn't over yet. And he's like, all right, I just can't wait any longer. And he did it anyway. Samuel said, here's verse 11. Samuel said, oh man, I can imagine Samuel getting there and be like, what have you done? Like, oh, and Saul said, oh, here, he's so good at this making. Well, when I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the days appointed, lie, he came on the seventh day. See, he's deceiving himself already. You did not come in with the days appointed and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash. I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. See, he's trying to justify himself. Well, I knew that they were gonna come attack and we can't fight them if I didn't offer the burnt offering, but he disobeyed Samuel's command. He disobeyed. He didn't wait. And now he's rationalizing his sin, saying, oh, well, you didn't come within the days appointed. Yes, Samuel did. You just didn't wait long enough. Isn't that easy for us to kind of justify? Well, it's okay for me to do this because, and we make all these excuses and try to rationalize, well, it's okay to, you know, and oh, that's a slippery slope, Christians. Verse 13, and Samuel said to Saul, yep, he tells him, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you, for then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Isn't this something? God would have established his kingdom through Saul forever, but because of this mistake, he wasn't willing to wait a couple hours more, and he lost the kingdom because of it. What are we missing out on that God wants to bless us with simply because we're not willing to wait a little bit longer? 1 Samuel 28, 5 through 7. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a medium at Endor. Now Saul has gone so far off the cliff, God's not even responding to him anymore. And now he's going to engage in a practice that he himself forbid in the land. Rules for thee, but not for me, right? He's now an official tyrant, okay? He told other people not to pray. And even when he went to the witch of Endor, she said, I can't do this. You know, King Saul has forbid it. And then he reveals himself, I'm King Saul. It's okay. Okay. Wait, we're not supposed to have these beauty shops open to get a haircut? Oh, it's okay. I'm an important person. You can give me a haircut anyway. Because some of you probably know what I'm talking about. But anyway, it's just astounding. Just astounding, isn't it? Okay. So now he resorts to divination. That's what happens when we're not willing to wait on the Lord. I encourage you guys, let us be a people who waits on God. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Psalm 37:7. This is probably my favorite verse to meditate on when I'm practicing a daily office, being still before the Lord. You know, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. I have to say that to myself over and over and over. Some of us maybe have a little bit more natural patience than others. I'm not one of those people. When I taught elementary music for 7 years, oh boy, I tell you, that increased my patience exponential quite a bit. But I'm still learning. I still fail at home and lose my temper at times, and God's still working on me. And then it's just another reminder, okay, Paul, you need to go chill out and spend some time with the Lord and be still before him. When we're worrying about things, take those worries, sit, be still. Okay, Lord, I'm afraid. I want to trust in you. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Let's not make the same mistake Saul did and start visiting witches to help us out. All right, so number four, Saul's doing for God instead of being with God resulted in deceiving himself, thinking he had obeyed God when he had not, and leading him down a path of pride, rebellion, and presumption, or arrogance. Oof, so he deceived himself. So here's an example. First Samuel 15, 1 through 24. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but here's a couple highlights. So verse 3 out of 1 Samuel 15, it says, "Now go and strike." Okay, so once again, clear instructions. These are clear instructions. "Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Now we might think, wow, how could a loving God command Saul to do this? But he was making a point. This entire nation was completely wicked. And they just needed to be annihilated, you know. Talk to God about that. The point is that, you know, that's how serious God is about sin and how we need to do that in our life. You know, kill every single little tiny speck of whatever sin that is in our life and just completely abolish all of it. Okay, well, in verse 9, here we go. "But Saul and the people spared Agag," supposed to kill everybody, "and the best of the sheep," supposed to kill all the animals too, "and the oxen and the fattened calves and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them." Okay, so does everyone see here how he clearly disobeyed the command, right? This is clear to us. All that was despised and worthless, they devoted to destruction. Yeah, we'll get rid of these, the weak sheep and da-da-da-da-da, but we'll keep the good ones. Okay, now in verse 12 of 1 Samuel 15, "And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, and it was told Samuel, 'Saul, come to Carmel, and behold, he set up a mountain for himself and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal.'" Wow. So he built a monument for himself. What did Samuel do when God delivered the Philistines into Samuel's hands? I don't know if you remember, but that's when he set up Ebenezer, which means stone of help, dedicating that battle win to the Lord. He said, "Till now, the Lord has helped us." 1 Samuel 7:12. So Samuel sets up a stone in honor of God. Saul sets up a monument for himself. Verse 13, "And Samuel said to Saul, and Saul said to him, 'Blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.'" How could he say that? He disobeyed. "And Samuel said," this is great, "'What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear?'" Can you imagine how frustrated Samuel must have been? It's like Saul blew it again. Okay, now this gets better. Verse 15, "Saul said, 'Oh, they have brought them.'" They have brought them. It wasn't me. Yeah. They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, you know, and the rest we have devoted to destruction." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stop." He just had to cut him off. Like, enough of this. I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night. And he said to him, "Speak." Well, now he gets a tongue lashing. "And Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry," or arrogance. Yep, is another definition of presumption. "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Saul said to Samuel, we talked about this already, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." So here's another thing that happens when we go down this path of the fear of man. We let our anger get out of control. We're not willing to wait on the Lord. Then we start deceiving ourselves. And we're thinking that we're doing what is right and good and holy, when in fact we are directly disobeying God. It makes me sick to my stomach when I've talked to these escorts that are helping women go abort their babies. Say, "Yep, I'm a Christian. I go to church, and this is good and right that we're helping this woman kill her baby." And I'm just thinking to myself, "Wow, you fool! You are deceiving yourself." And Christians, warning: this can easily happen to any of us right here. Enough steps in the wrong direction, and any of us are capable of anything. We need to remind ourselves of that. And we need to continually be putting ourselves before the Lord. Even right now, perhaps there's some thing that God's kind of bringing in your mind, and you're thinking, wow, I need to repent of that before it gets out of control. And if that's the case, I encourage you to do that today. Maybe there's somebody here. I can look out and assume like, okay, we've got a lot of godly Christians here. Everyone's probably got a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're good. But maybe that's not the case. Maybe there is somebody sitting here that has never given their life to Jesus and truly repented of all of their sins. And if you haven't, today is a great day for that. Today is the day of salvation. So I'm going to pray, and then I'll call the musicians up for one last song, and then we'll have a fellowship meal. But I'm just going to pray right now. Once again, the big idea, let your doing for Jesus flow from your being with Jesus. So I really encourage all of us here who are in Christ, man, delight yourself in the Lord. There was a pastor I was talking with. This was a couple months ago. I think I've shared this before, but just talking to him about getting ready for church on Sundays and things like that. And he said, you know, Paul, almost every Sunday when I'm getting ready to preach, I think to myself, man, I wish I would have spent more time with Jesus this week. You know, coming from this guy's a great pastor. Like I respect him a lot. And, you know, sometimes I feel the same way, like, man, I wish I just would have spent some more time with Jesus this week. So, let's be encouraged by that so we can be abiding in him and let our doing flow from being with him. Musicians, you can come up. Father, we just thank you for this time, in your word. We thank you for what we can learn, from all the characters in the Bible. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't make the same mistakes that Saul did. I pray that we learn to be abiding in you, to be spending time with you. And Father, I pray right now, if there's anybody here that has not for the first time just said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I need your forgiveness, what you did for me on the cross by dying on the cross for all my sins. I accept that payment for my sin so that I can have eternal life. Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you for rising from the dead. So, Father, if there's anyone here that hasn't prayed that, I pray that they pray that prayer today and give their life to you, Jesus. I pray that we go forth today walking in you, abiding in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.